So a secretary, a sales rep, and their boss are walking to lunch when they find an antique oil lamp. Now you know what's in the oil lamp, right? They rub it, and a genie pops out and says, there's three of you, so I'll give each of you one wish. The secretary goes, me first. And she says, I want to be in the Bahamas driving a speedboat without a care in the world. Poof, she's gone. me next, the sales rep says. He says, I want to be in Hawaii relaxing on the beach with an endless supply of southern sweet tea and people to wait on me and bring me food whenever I want it. Poof, he's gone. Okay, you're up, the genie says to the boss. The boss thinks for a minute, and he says, okay, here's what I want. I want those two back in the office after lunch. Did I do better that time? All right. So if you had one wish, what would it be for? Because last week we asked an important question that Storm referenced, right? What do you want more than anything else in your life? I'll tell you, God gave me that question and it's been haunting me. Because there's a lot of days that sometimes what do I want more than anything else today is just to not be tired. What do I want more than anything else is to, you know, I don't know, but Jesus said, here's what I want you to want. If you get one wish, here's what I want you to wish for. The kingdom of God above all else. And if you do, here's my enormous promise to you. You will have everything you need. So we don't have to focus on all the stuff we need. We put God's kingdom first and He'll take care of us. That's a pretty good trade-off, right? Because how good are you at taking care of and meeting all of your needs? How's that worked out? Now, here's the really interesting thing about this genie joke or the three wishes joke. It's been around for centuries. I did a little research into this. And I never realized before, but in this joke telling, there's always a twist, right? There's always somebody that messes up this interaction with the supernatural being. And it never works out the way it's supposed to. So there's one of the earliest examples of this is from the 1700s. And this one's a sad one. There was a poor, starving peasant couple who came across, you know, an antique vessel, rubbed it, genie popped out. So they're poor and starving, right? The woman just blurts out, I want a sausage. So she gets whatever she wants from the supernatural being, and she asks for one sausage. Poof, she has a sausage. So her husband just gets irate because he's like, you could have asked for immense wealth or a lifetime of food, and he gets so overcome with his anger that he says, here's what I wish. I want you to make that sausage stick to her nose. And sure enough, right, the sausage got stuck to her nose where she could smell it but not eat it. Poor starving woman, smelling sausage, can't eat it. And so the husband realized, for his third wish, he had to ask the genie to take the sausage away from his wife's nose. So they neither had food or wealth or anything. And man, if that just doesn't speak to a powerful truth in our lives, we just aren't competent to run our lives. We just can't handle life. We just never seem to get it right. This is really a shocking statistic. I had to double check it, but it's something like 90% of the major Powerball lottery winners are bankrupt within 10 years. They win like $300 million, and then 10 years later, they are working at McDonald's. Isn't that crazy? No matter how much money we're given or how great the family we come from or any tremendous natural ability, we just can't handle. I mean, look at the movie stars. How many spouses do they run through and craziness and crisis? We just can't manage life. So I want you to think about a worry or concern or a problem in your life right now. It probably comes right to you, right? I mean, usually those things are fresh right at the top of our mind. And here's what Jesus says to you. He says, it's going to be okay. That's nice, isn't it? I got some good news for you, because the kingdom of God is near you. All you have to do is repent and believe. All you have to do is repent, is change what you care about. Change how you're living and go all in with my kingdom. And that's good news, right? So what is the kingdom? Because it's not just something in the future. There's a scripture we're going to look at today that talks about the kingdom of heaven. That's now and future. The kingdom of God is here and now and in the future. Well, one thing we know about the kingdom of God is if it's our most important priority in our life, all our needs are taken care of. I mean, can you imagine going to live in somebody's house and they say, you know what, I'm going to take care of everything you need. You don't have to worry anymore. Like, yes, I hit the jackpot. Right? That's what God says. Move out of the house of storm into the house of truth and grace. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a place of grace, isn't it? Where we don't get judged and pounded for our every little mistake. No one's watching us and keeping a list and checking it twice. I'm sorry, you can't live here anymore because you broke 3 rules. You're out. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is also a place of truth. Because there's a truth we need in our lives. I want the truth of God. Do you? The kingdom of God is a place of justice. We don't have to run around when people hurt us and injure us and keep a list. You know, I'm never going to talk to them again because of what they did to me. No, God takes care of it. As a matter of fact, he says, leave justice to me. If you try to do it, you're just going to get in my way. This is the place we can live in now. As a matter of fact, elections are irrelevant to the kingdom of God. That's how we know we're really grooving with this kingdom of God thing, because we're not more in touch with what's going on with our government than we are with the government of God. It's funny, I was talking to somebody the day of the inauguration. And they told me, somebody asked them if they'd watched the inauguration, and they said back to me, there was an inauguration today? Yeah. I mean, presidents come and go. They have almost no impact. Right? Occasionally one does, but who has the greatest impact? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Ooh, yeah, now we got it. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Oh, sing it with me. Come on. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Amen. Amen. That's the kingdom of God. Do you want that? I want it. Then repent and believe. And every time you see yourself drifting into the kingdom of this world, repent and believe again and come back. It's so simple and easy. So this week, during my daily prayer time, I've been reading the story of Joseph found in the last 13 chapters of Genesis. And I love the story of Joseph. It's one of my favorite parts of the Bible. It's just so full of drama, the family dysfunction. It's just so real, right? I mean, it's written 1,700 years before this happened 1,700 years before the birth of Jesus. And it's so full of detail. I always find something to speak to me in it. So Just a little bit of background in case you forgot. Joseph is the second youngest of 13. So he's got a big family. And so he's got 12 siblings from four different mothers. So this is a complicated family, right? It's pretty complicated. And on top of it, Joseph's dad has let it be known that Joseph is his favorite. And on top of that, he gives him special presents and gifts. So Joseph gets a big head about it. And his brothers start to get bitter and angry, and they actually hate him. And they hate him so much, they're going to put him to death. That's their plan. They actually scheme together to come up to put their brother to death. Talk about a dysfunctional family, right? I mean, I think your family's bad. Wow. So they hatch this plan, but one of Joseph's brothers steps in and he doesn't want to see him put to death. Long story short, they sell Joseph to some merchants who are traveling through, and Joseph, at 17 years old, becomes a slave. So he's a slave for 10 years, and then he's falsely accused of rape and put in jail. Now, he's a foreigner, and he's put in jail by the woman's husband, who is none other than the captain of the palace guard. Now, he's a foreigner, accused of rape by a prominent soldier who the king trusts. How does Joseph not end up executed, right? I mean, this is, well, we know how, right? God. And so the story goes, one of the king's servants, actually two of them, are in jail with Joseph, and they have dreams, and Joseph interprets the dreams, and his interpretations come true, and Joseph says, when you get out of here and you get back to the king, remember me. And so when this happens, they get back and they don't remember Joseph. And so Joseph's, let's just go through this again, right? Hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, in jail, 2 years go by, and all of a sudden the king calls for him. The king himself, because what happened is he had a dream. And that's when the cupbearer remembered, oh, that's right, there's this guy named Joseph. He can interpret dreams. And so the king says to Joseph, I've had a dream, but no one can interpret it. Can you do it? Now, can you imagine this moment? This is the moment Joseph has been waiting for since he was 17 years old. I mean, can he do it? He can do it. He can negotiate and make a deal. I mean, if it was me, I'd be up there saying, Pharaoh, I can do it. Let's make a deal here. You know, let's work something out because I know what's going on with that dream. He could have said, but I have one wish. He wanted all of his suffering to go away, right? All of his stress and worry to go away. I mean, he's standing before... Pharaoh at that point, in world history, may have been the most powerful person in the world. I mean, Egypt was in its glory days, or coming just before some of their greatest days. I mean, there's no telling what Joseph could have requested. Hit pause on the story. Let's go to ourselves. Fast forward 3,700 years. We all got a stimulus check, didn't we? Or we will once we turn our taxes in. Let's keep it real together. Because Kingdom of God dwellers, we get those checks and we say, Father, what do you want me to do with this money? Instead of saying, I've got this one thing I really need to take. I got this bill I got to pay off, or I got to take care of this. Because we weren't standing before the most powerful person in the world, but what did we get? $1,200, the first one? That can make some wishes happen, right? And then all of a sudden we're shifting from, we're not living in the kingdom of God to we're living in the government of this world. Are you with me? Does that a fair parallel? I'm in the boat with you. I'm in that circle, right? I get the check and I'm like excited, yes. But am I seeking what I want first or what God wants first? So Joseph is their Pharaoh, and here's what he says in Genesis 41:16. He says, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And so I don't know what's happened to Joseph through this ordeal with his brothers and slavery and the false accusation in prison. Something's happened to him, and he's emerged from prison, and he understood something. This is what he understood. He understood one of these principles of the kingdom of God, which is he is not smart enough to be in charge of his life. He's not smart enough to know what he needs. He's not smart enough to run his life. He will mess it up. Right? Isn't that us? We're not competent. We can't do it. We don't know what we need. Everything I try to do without God, I mess up. Can somebody, am I the only one here? Give me a head nod, say amen.
Oh, yeah, amen.
Every time. And so he says, I can't do it, but God can. Not only can God do it, but he will. Genesis 41:16, here's the full verse. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So he doesn't bargain. He doesn't play, let's make a deal. He doesn't try to take control. He simply says, I can't, but God can. Say that with me. I can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? I can get in his way. Because he said, if you seek first my kingdom, I'll take care of everything you need. But let's flip it around. If I don't seek first his kingdom, maybe there's things I'm going to pray for. God's going to go, no. No. I can't. That's where we want to live, but God can. So 1,700 years before Jesus, it blows me away. Joseph makes a kingdom of God confession. It's not about me. It's about God, and God can do it. You know, this is the kingdom of God right at the beginning of the Bible lived out in front of us. He didn't have Psalm 23. It hasn't even been written yet. David is hundreds of years are yet going to happen before David comes along. And yet he's saying, I'm not going to run around like a squirrel, frantic and full of worry. I'm just going to trust. I'm going to be a trusting sheep. If it's not my time to get out of prison, that's okay. Wow. When you read some of the stuff like this in Scripture, you just got to step back and go, wow. If it's not my time to get healed, it's okay. If it's not my time to have this bill taken care of by God, it's okay. If it's not my time to have this relationship healed, it's okay. If it's not my time, fill in the blank from your life. It's okay. Why? Because I trust God. And I want what He wants first and foremost in my life. It's just so much better for us to go through life admitting that it's impossible for us to know what we need. Just say this out loud with me. I don't know what I need. I don't know. There's no way. And here's what Jesus said. Go ahead and put it up, Nicole. Matthew 5:3. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are used synonymously in the New Testament. They mean the same thing. So this is, we understand this as being poor in spirit and soul and understanding our need for God. This is the door to the kingdom. This is how you get into the kingdom of God. This is the start. This is start. Is understanding our need. Now, who is our God? He's our Father. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of truth. Is there anybody we want to have need with more than Him? No. Because we can totally trust Him. Years ago, there's this YouTube video called Cardboard Testimonies. Anybody ever see that? It's great. So it's in this church service, people come up and they have a piece of cardboard and there's this great music playing in the background, and on the one side it will sit, make, they don't get to speak. They have a cardboard. One side it says something, and then they flip it and it's the completion of their testimony. So one was this woman came up. On the one side it says, she's holding, "I lost my mom and hated God." She flips it over, "Found by God, now head over heels in love with Him." Right? It's a great testimony, isn't it? Next one, woman comes up, 3 years, 2 miscarriages. That's hard. Flips it over, "Now 1 daughter, His perfect timing." The one I will never forget as long as I live, 2 people came up. They both have their pieces of cardboard, and the woman shows it, and it says, "Diagnosed with MS. That's tough, right? Next to her, "I'm her doctor." He flips his over. "I became a Christian because of her." She flips hers over. It says, "It was worth it." Getting MS for a stranger so they could know the kingdom of God. It was worth it. There's something bigger than my life and what I want. What I think is best, it's the kingdom of God. And it is the most amazing place to live. So, let's be practical. How can we actually live in the kingdom of God? What do we do? What steps do we take? So there's one path in Genesis Joseph took, and you go through family rejection, slavery, and prison. That's one path. But there's a less arduous path, which I highly recommend to you. It's a much easier path, and that's by praying the kingdom prayer every day. And by praying this kingdom prayer, God engineers you to think more and more and more like He does. You actually become imprinted with the thoughts of God. And you live more and more and more in His kingdom. And so we talked about the first part of that last week. The first part, Jesus said, when you pray, go away to this private place. And you know what hit me, and I didn't think about this last week. We so often think, I have this need in my life. If I could just get to vacation, just got to make it to if I can get to the beach or to the mountain or wherever you like to go, I'll be okay. Jesus says, no, vacation's okay. But it's the secret private place with me where you're going to be taken care of. It's better than the beach. It's better than shopping therapy. It's better than eating a bag of potato chips, which I tried that route when COVID first started. That really didn't help. It's that private place with God. And He said, then this is how you pray. And we talked about this. We're not going to go through this again. But our Father in heaven. Private with Him, our Father in heaven. And if you missed that, you can go to our website and hear the message from last week. Then the next part, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And that is kind of lost on us, isn't it? May your name be kept holy. And there's the two parts, and Nicole, you can turn off the screen sharing just for a moment. There's two parts to this that we don't get. May your name, and then be kept holy. Holy. We don't get those two things. So let's talk first about name. Because we have to understand the first century Jewish mind if we're going to get what he meant by this. You see, people back then were, their name was a projection of who they are. And we don't get that. Names don't really mean that much to us anymore. But we still have a few remnants of that left. So I'm going to say name to you, and an image is going to come into your mind. We've got a couple of these left, right? Mother Teresa. That name means something, right? It does. It's a person of goodness and caring, sacrificially giving their lives. Mother Teresa. Maybe for some of us, Billy Graham has that kind of... I know Billy Graham actually came here to Pottsville, and I think... Where did he speak? He spoke at Pottsville High School, right? They actually let him in the high school, right?
He was in the stadium.
He was in the stadium, okay. So there was people touched, you know, Billy Graham. And maybe there's somebody in your life that has passed on, but their name still means something to you and represents them. And for the Jewish people, there was no separation between a person and their name. And so Psalm 9:10 says, those who know you, who know your name, trust in you. So just the name was enough. So may your name, that's what, may the person, may your person, the representation of who you are, be kept holy. And then the word holy. So we've talked a lot about this. What does the word holy mean? Somebody that's here or online just kind of blurted out.
Different from, become separate.
Be different. Be separate. We could also say unique. So people, we can say, well, let's just stick with Schuylkill County, are very judgmental, right? Is that a fair statement? God is not judgmental. He is different. That means being holy. People may also, this isn't just Schuylkill County, hold on. If you do them wrong, they are never going to forget it. You know anybody like that? God's not like that. He's different. He's holy. So this prayer is a prayer of reverence for God's name and who he is. So let's, everybody here, you can go ahead and put that up on the screen now. These are some prayer points that have come up. Everybody should have a copy of it in front of them on the back of one of the sheets today. So these are some prayer starters. If they speak to you, great. This is not in the Bible. These are just some things I've gleaned from some prayer experts over the years. And so one of the things we can pray, this is the kingdom prayer. And by the way, let me just say this. If Jesus said, pray this way, it's worth doing, right? We shouldn't just give up on it because we don't get it or don't understand it or it's too hard. This is worth doing. And so the first thing I wrote here is pray, Father, do what we can't, make your name holy in all the earth. Father, let your name be revered and honored in all the earth. And then I wrote down here, ask God to help you to give him the unique place which his nature and character deserve in your life. Pray that you may be able to give God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit reverence during every moment of your day. How do you keep his name holy? Every moment of the day you honor him. Is that something that we can do without God's help? I don't think so. No. But can you imagine You spend a lifetime praying that just that part of this. What do you think is going to happen to you? Every day, day in, day out. God, you are so... Remember we started with Father. Father, I'm bursting into your throne room. Here I am, your little boy, your little girl. I love you. And he's like, hey, it's good to see you. And then we say to him, here's what I want to give back to you from my heart. I want to reverence who you are in every atom, every fiber of who I am throughout this entire day. Keep me from letting anything enter into my mind, my thoughts, my body. Keep me from doing anything that doesn't honor you. Do you see how that flows from that? How important that would be? And then next, pray for the strength to live a holy or different life. Affirm your commitment to honor the Father's name in every area of your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind any area of your life that is not holy. What do you think about that? You like that? Do you think he will? If you ask him, say, Father, show me anything in my life, any place in my life where I'm not holy, do you think he'll do that? You know what's interesting? I'm talking to more and more of River Church folks. And God's dealing with them on what they're watching, what they're being entertained by. It's really interesting. You know, that's one of the areas it's really easy for us to not be holy. Because it's, you know, I carry it in my pocket. I can watch whatever I want whenever I want, right? And somebody told me, you know what? I can't watch Netflix. There's just too much on there that is not of God. And so, no Netflix for them. And I thought, good for them. Now, is that true for everybody? No. But we want to be in a position where the Holy Spirit can say to us, don't watch Netflix. And we go, okay. Anything else? Because do we need Netflix? Are our needs going to be met through Netflix? Who's going to take care of our needs? And when we say, no, I am going to keep Netflix over what God wants, God's like, okay, that's how you want it. I don't think we want to be in that position, do we? No. So God, bring to my mind any area of my life that's not different. Where am I gossipy? Where am I judgmental? Where am I bitter? Where am I angry? Where am I anything in my life that is more like that is like the world and not like you? I'm shocked. One of my areas, God's, I can, like a switch can go off like this and I can get judgy, especially when I'm driving. I don't know what it is about driving. I like lose my mind sometimes. It's like, that moron, what were they thinking? Right? And it's like, God's like, what are you doing, Storm? That's not being holy. It's like, oh yeah. Maybe they just got bad news. Maybe they're rushing to the hospital. Maybe who knows what's going on in their life. And here I am judging them, right? Look at this next one. I love this. Pray for God's discipline in your life because, read that out loud with me, God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in His holiness. Do you know God wants to share His holiness with you? I love that. I love it. I don't have to engineer this. I don't have to figure it all out. I just got to surrender. God, discipline me wherever you want. And His holiness then begins to come in me and flow through me, and I end up becoming like God and less like the world. I long for it. I want it. Because I don't want to be judgy. That's not only is it bad for me, but it keeps me from my work in the harvest field with other people, right? And I want to honor God. Now this next one, you know, when it hits you, you don't have to do it every day, but kneel before your Father and pray this prayer from the book of Revelation. holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you are created, you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And then take time to worship God who is resplendent in holiness. The prayer masters tell us the position of our body in prayer matters. Going like this does something to us. Doing this. If I'm laying down in my lazy boy chair, just kicking back, the same position I'm in when I watch TV, that impacts me spiritually. Is it okay to pray in your lazy boy chair, kick back? Sure. But sometimes, kneeling down, it reminds us of our place, doesn't it? I'm not in charge. I'm not even close to being in charge. Kneeling down, they say, is an important thing for us and how it impacts us in our psyche and our prayer life. So, if you really want to dive in to the kingdom way of life and thinking, start praying these two prayers. Pray this prayer guide. It's online if you need it. I sent it out. I'll send it out again if you don't have a copy, so you can have the whole thing. And see what God does in your life. So let's wrap this up. What's so interesting about Joseph's story? He has no Bible. He has no church. He has no worship music. He can't put on the Christian radio station and just jam out to the, you know, to the worship stuff. He is all alone. There's not one other God believer that we know of in his life. And yet he becomes one of the few Old Testament people who understand the nature of the kingdom of God and never wavers. Why is that? Because I think he lived in such need that he gave up on trying to fix his life and turn to God. And that is the doorway into the kingdom of God. So what's your greatest wish? What do you want most of all? Probably like me, you need God's help so that he can train your affections for what he really wants. And this is how the church is unlocked to be who it can be together and in the world. Next week, we're going to spend a little more time with the actual spiritual gifts, but we had to do this work in the kingdom of God. And this is the question we need to be asking each other. How's it going? Thinking kingdom thoughts, praying kingdom prayers, becoming more kingdom-minded, living more for that than for anything else. Let's pray. God, thank you for Joseph. Thank you that the Bible has such detail about his life and who he was and how he thought and acted, because it really resonates with us. He's so much like us. And we pray that you would shape us and mold us. We really want to live more in the kingdom than we do in this world. And thank you that we can do it right now, that it's the kingdom of God is not some future something coming. It's here and now, today, this moment, this breath. Help us, God. And teach us and help us to pray your kingdom prayer, we pray. We want to grow in holiness. We want to honor you with every fiber, every thought, every action all day long. We love you and bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.